I think you guys know by this point that as I prepare my homilies, as I read through the readings, I'm always kind of looking for the thread, the theme, the thread that runs through the length of the tapestry that kind of connects all the readings together, because that really is the church's intention, that it's not just random scriptures that are thrown together on any given Sunday, but there really is a logic, an inner logic behind what the church is trying to present to us. And so as I was kind of reading through this, I feel like there's three or four different kind of major themes that are all kind of woven together here. But the big one that stood out to me, and is actually maybe a lesser theme that might not have actually been as directly intended, but it's there nonetheless, is the presence of St. Peter. Our first reading today is from the Acts of the Apostles, Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. And it's the speech from Peter. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed, "You who are Jews, indeed all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Listen to my words." So Acts chapter 2, today's first reading, it starts on verse 14. And this is the immediately following up from the first few verses of Acts chapter 2, which is Pentecost. So this is Peter's proclamation on Pentecost morning. They've just received the Holy Spirit. They've gone out in the streets, and they're all talking about Jesus, and everyone's like, "Whoa, what's up with these guys? They're drunk." And Peter's like, "No, we're not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. We haven't started drinking yet." But it doesn't stop some people, but at least for Peter, that was enough of a defense. Like, that's why we're not drunk. But I guess, as I was reading this, wondering, why are we reading from Pentecost Sunday on the third Sunday of Easter? We're still celebrating Easter. Pentecost it's a month away. It's not till the end of May. And we have Peter's proclamation on Pentecost morning. What's up with that? Why is that what we're reading today? And then I started kind of digging in, okay, what else is going on here? But it has to do with Peter, what Peter has to say. Now keep in mind, Peter and the other 11, after the crucifixion, they're scared. They're hiding in the upper room for fear of the Jews. That's what scripture says. They're hiding, fearful, not bold by any means. But something changes between the end of the Gospels and the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. The change in between, there's two major things that happen. Number one, it's the resurrection, the encounter with Jesus, particularly with Peter. He went from denying Jesus three times to encountering him at the Lake of Galilee, being reaffirmed three times, and then the descent of the Holy Spirit. That is the really big driving force, the big change of what happened when they received the Holy Spirit, and you can't shut these guys up. But what Peter, read the internal logic of what Peter is saying here on Pentecost morning. And he quotes a couple different points from the Old Testament, but here's what he says. "My brothers, one can confidently say to you about the patriarch David, that he died and was buried, and his tomb is in our midst to this day." David, the King David, the uniting of the two kingdoms of Israel, he's dead. We know where his tomb is. Moses, our forefather, we carried his bones into the promised land because he died before we even got there. Abraham, the father of many nations, is dead and he's turned to dust. These guys are all dead. But Jesus is alive. He is not like them. He is not some figure from history. He's not Abraham Lincoln or Cleopatra or pick your figure, or Genghis Khan, that lived and we can read stories about his historical life and we can say, oh yeah, he did things 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago. He is alive right now. This is the driving force of Peter on Pentecost. He is alive. He is risen. It's the proclamation of the resurrection. And that is why the church is asking us to read this today as we celebrate that we're in the season of Easter. It's because it's all about the resurrection. He is alive. He is close to us. He's not some dead figure from history. But it's interesting that what Peter says is, okay, we can tell you about King David. He's dead and his bones are in a grave somewhere. But he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of Jesus. Peter's making this argument from Scripture, from the Old Testament, that King David, who lived 800 years before Jesus, foresaw and spoke of the resurrection. That he would neither be abandoned to the netherworld, nor would his flesh see corruption. All right, Peter, where are you getting this? Where is this coming from? That King David is prophesying about the resurrection. Where is that in King David's writings? Well, the church foresaw that, guys. Good news. That's our response to our old psalm today, Psalm 16, that we just proclaimed and we just sang. What is King David saying in Psalm 16, verses 9 and 10? Here's what King David said 800 years before Jesus. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body, too, abides in confidence because you will not abandon me to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your servant to undergo corruption. Now, these are the words of King David writing about himself, but we read them Christologically, and there's almost like a double sense that is going on. They apply to King David, but they also apply to Jesus. Just like Psalm 22, they pierce my hands and my feet, and I can number all my bones. It was written of King David, but it applies to Jesus. Now, this idea of like extracting from Scripture what was written before, but it applies to Jesus, this method is what our gospel is. That's why it's all tied together. The road to Emmaus as the apostles are walking and they're downcast and Jesus has just been crucified. And then Jesus shows up to them and says, hey, what are you guys talking about? We're talking about Jesus. He died, but we were hoping he would rise from the dead. But man, and we were hoping he'd be the Messiah, but some people have said he's risen from the dead and we're so confused about all this. And Jesus said, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that was written to me. And then beginning with Moses and the prophets, he showed them everything that spoke of him. And I would dare say one of the things that they talked about on the road to Emmaus was Psalm 16. King David saying, he will not see corruption. All of these things are woven together today to speak and to proclaim the resurrection. Jesus is alive. That's why the church asks us to read from Pentecost in the middle of the Easter season. And we'll ramp up as we get to the end of Easter. We always ramp up and start talking about the Holy Spirit. And all the readings are Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, because that's really what Pentecost is about. But today is the resurrection. So, but with that, you know, you look at Peter, you look at his shift, his conversion, his going from before the crucifixion when he's like, if everyone else denies you, I will not deny you, and his humbling that took place as he did deny Jesus and as he was redeemed. This figure of Peter stepping out, being the first one almost every time, I can't think of an exception actually off the top of my head, where he was not the first one to respond, to step out and say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. When Jesus says, hey, I'm walking on the water, come on out. And all the apostles look around, are you going? Are you going? Peter says, okay, well, I guess I'm going. This action, this boldness of Peter, driven specifically by the resurrection. And I guess, brothers and sisters, that's where my heart resides right now. That's where my prayer has been centered in so many ways, especially today as we roll out our capital campaign for our parish, as we're making these visits, these home visits to folks, and rolling out this big scheme. It's a big task, a big project, a big vision of where we're hoping to go as a parish. It's very much stepping out of the boat. In a boat, you have something to hold on to. You have some security. And even if it's rocking and rolling, at least you have the internal sense of I can grab on to something. But when Jesus says, come out of the boat, like there's no more guardrails. There's no security. There's simply him. And I've just become convinced as time has gone on that that's where the Lord is leading us. Or after our own patron of stepping out of the boat and moving forward into the future, moving forward in faith. And so, you know, the capital campaigns and the projects and renovating the church and all these kind of things that are, there's life and there's movement here. There's movement in the church at large. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, there is a new Pentecost happening today. The Holy Spirit is moving in ways that we just haven't seen in decades. There's new life happening. And it's this new invitation for each of us. And so as I make these asks of folks, and as I've been having these conversations, it's not my cup of tea. It's not my favorite thing. It's not, I don't like talking about money or asking for money any more than anybody else does. But if I've reached and arrived at the conclusion that the Lord is asking this of me, to ask this of you, I cannot help but to say yes. And it's the same question that I'm asking myself that you will ask yourself. You know, is the Lord alive? Is he inviting me to step forward in faith, to step out on mission? And as I've been having so many of these conversations and trying to bring all these things together and talk through all the various aspects and elements that are going on here, it's just interesting and of the folks who say, you know, Father, thank you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to step into the mission of our parish. You know, I've been thinking about it, and I've been wondering, how can I get plugged in? I've been telling myself, man, I need to get back into the church. I need to start tithing. And I've wondered, how can I do that? And now I see a path forward, and this is my opportunity to step into that. Thank you. And hearing that back for myself is just like, you know, is it hard for me to make big asks or to ask big things or big sacrifices from people? Yes, in some ways. But in some ways, I will challenge people to follow the Lord, to step out in mission. You cannot stay stagnant. I have no problem challenging people for that. And so as we move forward and, you know, as each of us discern our part, our role, our participation, I think that's ultimately what the Lord is asking. Do not permit your faith to stay stagnant. And whether it's this way or whether it's that way, whatever it might happen to be, like, the Lord is alive. And we must be, if we don't proclaim that to the world, if we don't live it, if we're not in unity with him, if there's not a relationship there that we are going out to share, who's going to do it? Who else can proclaim that message if not you and I? That we can be challenged with. And so it's an invitation to come on mission. It's an invitation to step out in faith. And may the Lord lead us as he led our own patron.